Welcome to our Thursday edition of Win Tucson. We are almost to the weekend. Matt's been doing a great job with the weather. I just have to say thank you. We went out to dinner last night, sat outside. It was perfect. I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be June, in the middle of June, and it's still lovely. Today we're going to talk about some issues and give you information so you can make informed decisions. I like to say that my listeners are some of the smartest people that there are because they're paying attention to what's happening. And I am very happy to introduce our guest today, which is Jack Donna. And Jack is a first-generation Hispanic Latina born in the United States. He's the son of parents that escaped communist Nicaragua. His father served as a Korean and Vietnam War veteran, and his dad served for 22 years in the United States Air Force and is a Bronze Star and Air Medal recipient. Jack also served in the United States military, honorably retired from the Army after 23 years of service as a Master Sergeant, First Sergeant. So Jack, welcome to Win Tucson. Thank you for being here. I want to let my listeners know you live in Cochise County, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And it's a real pleasure to be with you, Kathleen. Thank you for the honor for being on your show.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled to have you. You and I just want our listeners to know, I met you when I was running for Congress, and you asked me a lot of important questions, and we became friends. And as things happen at the border, I you're kind of my check and verify guy. But in the last few weeks, the calls I've been getting from you have been very concerning. And I've been kind of teasing it this week. But one of the things you told me in the last week was that weapons that we have provided over to Ukraine from this country have shown up at the Arizona border. So can you let my listeners know the team of people that you have and tell us that story, if you don't mind?
Okay, well, great. Thanks for having me again. Basically, a couple of years ago, a group of us got together and we formed a team. It's called the OSINT Think Tank. And it's a group of professional individuals, mostly military, but we also have some business professionals. We've got a couple of Green Berets, some doctors, intelligence analysts, cybercom analysts, engineer types, just to help to provide clarity for ourselves. And then we began a public outreach. So in regards to what's going on at the border, our team began to detect that there were videos that were surfacing online that showed that weaponry that is being supplied, allegedly being supplied to in the Ukrainian war, is now washing up on the southern border. Now, there's a lot of these videos that show up online, and some of them are, you know, they're not really real, or they're fake, or they're doctored. And so, you know, I have a pretty good friendship with Sheriff Mark Daniels.
Yes.
And, yeah, she's our mutual friend.
Yes.
And he has a fusion intelligence cell down in Cochise County that gets data fed to it from, as I understand it, more than one county. I think it's like up to three or four counties. I'm not sure the exact number.
Okay.
But I ran this by him. You know, I called him up and, you know, I ran this by him, texted him, and basically he confirmed it. He says, yes, we are getting these reports that these weapons are beginning to show up now on the southern border in the hands of cartel members. And that's really very concerning because this is not the kind of weaponry that you want in the hands of very evil people. They're very, very destructive. We saw one video that showed an AT-4 M136, and explain to your listeners, it's a shoulder fired weapon, single fire shoulder fired weapon, and the projectile that it fires can penetrate an armored personnel carrier and vaporize everyone inside. So that was of great concern. We also saw videos of RPG-7s, which is a rocket-propelled grenade. Those are reloadable, so you can use them multiple times. Now, in the context of why this is bad,
Other than it's at our border, and we don't have really any military there. We have order takers, for lack of a, you know, process, paper processors right now, because that's what our federal government is doing. So continue, Jack, though, please.
Yeah, absolutely. The danger here is when you have small units equipped with that type of heavy firepower, it could quickly overwhelm any type of defense that a sheriff's department or border patrol could put up. And, you know, I don't have a very high confidence. In fact, I have no confidence in the federal government's ability to react quickly enough to stop an incursion, if cross-border incursion by these cartels. You can't really even call them cartels anymore. If they're packing this type of weaponry, they're small armies. They're small armies, very well equipped, that control vast swaths of territory along our southern border. And for all intents and purposes, it appears that the Mexican government is indifferent or unable to put them in check. And you just look at our border, it's wide open now.
Are you there, Jack?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. So, we look at the border. It is wide open. And to your point, Sheriff Daniels and his department, they're not a big, the Cochise County Sheriff's Office isn't thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It is a small sheriff's office. I mean, they do a great job. What they do with the resources they have is extraordinary. But they are not a military force. Our Border Patrol has been told pretty much to stand down. They are processing people. And as you know, we've had over 168 different countries come through, most recently Chinese, Africa, Russia. So we have people coming, not from Mexico, some of that, but very little, but other countries that are not our allies, and we're letting everyone into the country. Now, with this weaponry that shows up, is it being seized? Are they carrying it into the country? Where is it going?
That's unknown. I don't have visibility on that.
Okay.
That would probably be something that, the federal government should be concerned about. exactly. We've got a large amount of fighting age males, that's basically between the ages of, 18, 19, 20, and 40 and years old. And they're coming across this border. And it is of great concern because these people are unmoored from our society and from our way of life and the basic concepts of freedom that are enshrined in the Constitution. And we don't know who they are. They're not being vetted. They're just being released into the country. Now, to Sheriff Daniels' credit, he's pretty much keeping Cochise County an island.
Right.
I guess him and Yuma County, Sheriff Wilmot's really...
Leon Wilmot, yes.
Really got his hands full right now. But I think people need to understand that this will affect you. It will eventually affect everyone. I mean, people are going to work, they're busy with their lives and everything. Eventually, this will have a large impact on all of the 48 states, lower 48.
If it isn't already. Jack, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to pick up this conversation where we're leaving it. We are talking to Jack Donna, who served us in our United States military honorably, retired from the Army as a master sergeant. I always try to promote him. And he's General Donna to me, but the information he gives me. This is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Stay with us. This is your border, Arizona. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. We're talking to a master sergeant, retired military, Jack Donna. Jack, you have held top secret security clearance for four decades when you were serving. You were a chief instructor for the National Level Joint Spectrum Training Center at Fort Huachuca under the National Security Agency for 5 years. You were inducted into the Military Intelligence Hall of Fame as a Knowlton recipient. So when you're talking about this, you're not just a guy who was in the military, retired. You have a broad background in Army intelligence, and this is the group of people that you told us about in the first break, or the first segment. These are all people that have maybe not the exact same credentials, but similar credentials, who have the same concerns as you. Is this correct?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, we basically put this team together to cut through all of the noise and the misinformation that we get from the mainstream media. You know, these are all guys that have, you know, real world experience, you know, both civilian and military, across all disciplines, you know, medical, intelligence, you know, we have combat veterans, you know, that can basically do analysis of what we're seeing and say, yeah, that's true. Nope, that's BS.
But what is not BS is RPGs. There are weaponry that is showing up. And I want to say 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, there was a group of military-style young men, all in black, I think, that came across as a band of people, like a group of people. Can you confirm that at all?
Well, I don't know the particulars of that specific event you're mentioning, but I could tell you that where I live, I mean, I'm maybe 18 miles from the border, you know, in Sierra Vista. Mm-hmm. And just a block away from us, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, they intercepted six of them, illegals, and they were in full camouflage, you know, carpet wrapped around their shoes, so, you know, to mask their footprints. And, you know, they got intercepted. They were tracked, but, you know, they just went right past the riverbed where I live, and they were intercepted right there. So this is happening on a daily basis. I mean, you know,
every day you have illegal immigrants walking by your house to come into this country. Fair?
Yeah. I mean, I've actually gone out at night. My property borders on Fort Huachuca, and I've gone out there at night, and I can see the police lights, you know, flashing off in the distance in the wilderness, you know, and they're only out there at that hour because they're intercepting illegals that are coming over the Huachuca Mountains, you know, and that's right on the military installation. So never, you know, the only time I saw it this bad was in 1999, 2000, and it was really bad.
And what was, so explain to my listeners what that was and what was happening in our country at that time.
Well, it was the end of the Clinton administration, and basically the borders got thrown wide open until the Bush administration took over. But we literally had people coming over the mountain, walking onto Fort Huachuca, and calling out to one another in Spanish, you know. And, you know, it was military police were taxed to the limit trying to round up all of these people because they were just literally flowing over the border. So it hasn't been that bad up until now. Now it's just wide open, you know, according to everything I'm seeing and what I'm hearing from the sheriff. I mean, it's serious. It's really, really serious.
Yesterday, Ron DeSantis was down there getting his border tour, I'm sure with lots of people. And I think your state representatives, Griffin, Gowan, and Lupe Diaz were there. And a lot of people go to this border. It's a little frustrating to me, only in that it's important to see. But at the end of the day, it doesn't seem like we're getting the Border Patrol, the sheriff's office, additional technology support that they need, and that this administration, the Biden administration, seems to have a policy where come one, come all, welcome to the party, and let us give you not only some free airline tickets, some hotel rooms, but now the weaponry and we can talk, I'd like next segment to talk about the drugs and everything else, but right now what concerns me is that those that are there on the border are pretty much being told to stand down. I know that it used to be $1,000 to transport an illegal immigrant from the border. Now it's up to $5,000 per head. So if you're a young kid and you take five, that's $25,000. And so we're incentivizing, and the cartels are incentivizing American citizens to commit crimes on top of a crime, because to come here illegally is still a crime. Is it not?
Yeah, that's correct. And you know, what I want to convey to your listeners is this, and, you know, I had this discussion with, you know, General Flynn, who's, you know, a mutual friend of ours.
Yes.
Nation states do collapse. They just collapse. And when they collapse very quickly. And usually the trigger that causes it catches everyone by surprise. Now, what is going on right now at the southern border, there is going to be a finite end to what's going on. Eventually, it will come to an end. How is it going to end? The cartels right now are comfortable. They're very secure. They're very fortified. They're on the southern border. They're making boatloads of money via human trafficking and drug trafficking.
Exactly.
But eventually, that is going to come to an end. Now, what is going to be our position, the United States, when that does come to an end? Are we going to be in a position of power, or are we going to be so weakened that these cartels say, hey, check it out, we can go grab all of this land back? I don't think people understand the blood and treasure and sacrifice that went into
protecting these borders. Yes.
The three treaties that we have signed with Mexico that basically details our present border today. There are three treaties that were signed: the Treaty of Velasco, the Treaty of Mesilla, and the Gadsden Purchase, and the Treaty of Hidalgo Guadalupe. Those three treaties govern our southern border. And it was won with blood and sweat and treasure by our American citizen ancestors. Now, what is it going to be our position when this finally does come to an end? Because it will come to an end eventually.
Well, and I think that it's being escalated. And to your point, Sheriff Daniels has shared on this show that the cartels are making $300 million a day, which is just, and they're not getting along. So they're fighting. So, you know, and if they have operational control of our border, which Art Del Cueto has told us, Brandon Judd has told us, Sheriff Daniels has told us, Sheriff Lamb, no one disagrees that we don't have control. So what it tells me is we don't have a border. So we have a state that has a line on a map, but we have no control of this border. And now, on top of the drugs, the fentanyl, the human beings, the bodies that are going to start to show up, because now it's going to get hot, right? And yep. And the base down there runs the same schedule every day for the drones. So if you're a cartel member, you just wait till it's not that time, and then you come across then. We've made it so easy. To me, it seems like we're facilitating the criminal activities. And is that against the law? And as, you know, Andy Biggs today was very outspoken about the money that the Biden family has taken over the last 10 years. And he said, you know, people say, does it rise to the level of treason? If we're not close to treason, we're getting dangerously close. Because we have laws, we have a constitution, we're not following them. And we're putting American lives at risk every day based on these policies. And I would tell you they're failed policies. The only one that's benefiting from this is the cartels and those that are funding the cartels. So that's not the American dream. That's not America. That's not what we stand for in this country. And yet every day it's happening. And politicians who want to get elected are going down to the border to do their photo op, but no one's stepping up, as far as I can tell, to say, here's what we need to do next. And I'd like a lot more action than talk. Jack, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the cost to America and to Arizona right now, what's happening. So stay with me, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. This is Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson. You are listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Stay with us. This is important. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. We are talking to Jack Donna, who is a master sergeant, retired from the U.S. Army, served for 23 years, and lives on the border and sees illegal immigration every day, sees the cost of it. Jack, right before we went to the break, we mentioned fentanyl, but heroin, cocaine, meth, pot, marijuana, all of it. These are all industries of the cartels, and they make a lot of money bringing those drugs into the country, and that hasn't slowed down at all. And Arizona is a distribution point for the rest of the country.
Yes, it is, and that is of great concern. You know, dovetailing back with what we discussed earlier, you know, all of these things that are coming into the country, all of the above, all of these narcotics that are coming into the country, they are taking out our precious youth. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of these substances are so toxic that just to pick it up, I mean, you can absorb it through your skin and it can take you out. Now, there are second and third order effects to this, to all of this coming in, but ultimately, what it is doing, it is weakening our society. It is unraveling our social fabric. You know, it's a direct attack on our youth and on our precious children. And you know, when does this end? How does this end? You know, eventually, like as I said before, you know, they'll make all the money that they can make, and then you know these cartels—they're evil businessmen. They're going to say, okay, we now have limited returns on this. And what I mean by that is, eventually, this will so weaken our nation that look at right now as far as recruiting and retention in the services, people aren't signing up. They don't, you know, our youth are not signing up. They're not joining up. You know, it has to be addressed. It cannot just be a news item that's on, that you watch on TV and then just, you know, okay, this just goes by the wayside. But it seems that our politicians, like you were saying earlier, are more concerned with doing photo ops or their next big gig, you know, It's tragic, you know. I mean, case in point, in regards to these weapons that are coming across the border. The whole issue is the border is open.
Right.
And I spoke with my congressman about this, and you know, District 6, and he was clueless. He actually said to me on the phone, "No, I don't know about that." And I said, "Well, I know, Congressman, I think maybe you better get smart on this."
Right.
And what really surprised me was the congressman then says, "Well, maybe we could team up with your team." And so, you know, I had to explain to the congressman, "No, you need to go to Sheriff Daniel's fusion cell."
Right.
But what's really surprising is he's a U.S. congressman.
Well,
I mean, he has access to Fort Huachuca. He can get briefings on all of this stuff. So.
Well,
you know,
hopefully he will. And honestly, he should. And the Fusion Center was provided by Doug Ducey. So he worked for Governor Ducey. And I think, you know, when you're a new congressman and Congressman Siskamani, who you're talking about, is a new congressman. He didn't serve in the military. So there's a gap there that he has to learn. But to your point, I think this is the issue. This will be the defining issue, the border and who's controlling the border and how safe are we as Americans as we head in. And Jack, you are 100% correct about the attack on our youth. The fentanyl deaths are targeted towards people 18 to 40. Hundreds of thousands of people have now died. When you look at the the crazy transgenderism, which is not maybe directly related to this, but that is again another assault on our youth. The drugs are a problem. The everything that is out there right now seems to be attacking our next generation.
Absolutely, and it's an outrage. It's an outrage. These people in Washington, D.C., I mean, our elected officials, even down to the local level, you know, they're more concerned with getting COVID money, signing into
We're going to say that's Cochise County. We just need to be responsible because Cochise County did vote to take more COVID money. I know that upset you. I know we had that conversation last week. And it's unfortunate.
And one of our team members spoke out against it, Dr. Sam Sigaloff,
Yes, yes.
It's like, why are you guys taking this money when COVID's already over? You know, there's an old saying, if you take the king's coin, you are the king's man.
Yes.
Their priorities are all wrong. I mean, it should be a national security issue that our next generation, is being murdered. And I don't think that's an exaggeration by any means. Being murdered by these cartel members, and the indifference—it's like it's almost like they think, well, this is an acceptable loss. It's not.
Well, I just got a news flash that the House Homeland Republicans to launch probe into Mayorkas' dereliction of duty in handling the border crisis. Would you agree with that? I think that's a good step. I don't know which Republicans it is, but Representative Mark Green announced that this morning. And I know Andy Biggs has been trying to get Mayorkas impeached for quite some time.
Oh, yeah, he needs to be impeached. He needs to be impeached yesterday. I mean, just the job alone that he's done on the border.
Explain to my listeners, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum, but explain to my listeners why Mayorkas has failed in his duties.
Well, it goes to the number one and the first and only principle of that government has, the one responsibility that government has, which is to protect your citizenry. That is the only job that government has. Now, how do they do that? They protect it via the enumerated powers that are enshrined in our founding documents. Okay, they protect commerce. They protect us militarily. They protect the border. They make sure the border is secured. By any measure, Mayorkas has failed. There is free flowing commerce of an illegal nature flowing across the border. There are weapons of war. These are not like, hey, I'm going to go to the gun store and buy myself an AR. No, these are like high powered weapons that are now awash along our southern border. He's failed in that. The fentanyl, the drug use, the human trafficking, the children that are being trafficked.
Sexually exploited, too. They're not just being carried from one place to another. They're being physically abused, if not even sacrificed at the border, which we know is happening. So
absolutely. And then let's talk about all of the, and I guess maybe the Chamber of Commerce is happy with all this cheap labor that's come in, but what happens to the American worker? What happens to the American citizen when they show up for work and they say, well, you know what? Federal government isn't enforcing any of the hiring laws, the immigration laws. So we're going to hire this guy from Venezuela and pay him only $8 an hour because we don't have to pay you $15 an hour. And we get to pay him under the table. It's an outrage.
Well,
so going back to what you were saying with Mayorkas, by any measurable standard, he has failed at the number one principle that government is responsible for, which is to protect your citizenry.
Well,
I think he needs to go. He needs to be impeached.
I think it's really important that we all understand that it appears, and this is what the Republicans are saying, that the Biden administration has created incentives at the border, that they are incentivizing people to come here, and you can look at it.
Yep.
I just flew back to New York. We had seven people on my flight. didn't speak the language. I don't think it was even Spanish. And they had their little gold envelopes that they get. And then they're met when we get to where our destination is on the other end by somebody who ushers them away. They never get to baggage claim because they don't have any baggage. And we are, these airlines, our airlines, our U.S. airlines are part of the incentive. These hotels where they're staying are part of the incentive. We're giving U.S. taxpayer dollars to people that are here illegally. We don't take care of our veterans. We don't take care of our children. And the border's wide open. And I think, you know, it's going to take a bipartisan legislative effort to come together to fight back on this. And we've got Border Patrol agents at the border, but they're pushing paper. They're not pushing, we're not pushing the policies and the laws and the Constitution in the way and applying the structure we have. We are thumbing our nose at the judicial process, which weakens the courts, weakens that, and we're saying that it doesn't matter. That's a dangerous place to go. It's very dangerous. Absolutely.
It's a dangerous place to go because it comes down to the thing, the concept of, okay, so if the federal government now feels that it no longer has to enforce laws, then you don't have a country. Because a nation is built on laws, law-abiding citizens obeying the laws. And, you know, I think Frederick Bastiat wrote about this, that basically whatever it is illegal for the citizens to do, it should also be illegal for the government to do. I mean, whatever it is illegal for the citizen to do, it should be illegal for the government to do. I can't go across the border with an AT-4 or high-powered weapons. I couldn't go back and forth across. The government would arrest me.
Well, Mexico would arrest you.
Yeah, absolutely they would. Absolutely they would. So why is our government deliberately creating an environment that if you really take this to its end stage, you know, and yes, your listeners, if you really take this to its end stage, we're headed for a collapse. I mean, if this continues unabated and for all intents and purposes, it looks like that's what they want, you know, the Democrat Party, the party in power.
Right.
Eventually, this comes to a collapse.
Well, and I think their motives have been revealed, and we have to see if the voters vote. Jack, we got to take a break. We will come back and finish up this conversation. I appreciate your time and your background and your forthcoming about what's happening at the border from a citizen who has served and served this country. So we are talking to Jack Donna, retired U.S. Army intelligence, and won more awards. We'd have to spend a whole hour just listing everything that you've accomplished. So
that couldn't get me a cup of coffee at Denny's today.
I'll buy it. This is okay. Kathleen Nguyen. You're listening to Win Tucson on 1030 The Voice. Stay with us. This is important stuff, people. Trusted local news and talk. We'll be back. Welcome back to Win Tucson. We are talking to Jack Donna, and he is a, I always want to change this, Jack. Master Sergeant. I know, I want to make you a something else. And so thank you for being.
Can't do it.
I know. Well, heck, this administration's doing all kinds of things they're not supposed to be doing, so I don't know why I can't play along. But here we are. So Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, I think he cried uncle today. I think he said, I'm going to give you the document. But it's just one document of many documents, apparently, that show this document that they're finally going to turn over shows $5 million was paid to Joe Biden and his son. And so how does that play into all this?
Well, you know, I have several opinions about this. You know, we have a razor thin majority in the House of Representatives, and of course, you know, Chuck Schumer is in charge of the Senate.
Right.
Clearly, there's some reason for why the FBI director did not want to hand over that document. Clearly, there's something to this. Now, regarding Christopher Wray, his actions do not surprise me at all.
Right. Right.
And I don't know if your viewers remember this or not, but before he was the FBI director, he was the attorney for Chris Christie. And when the whole Bridgegate thing happened, it was Christopher Wray and his private law firm that held on to Chris Christie's emails and let it go right up until the breaking point, and then said, oh, here's the thumb drive with the emails. And when they went to the thumb drive with Chris Christie's emails, lo and behold, there was nothing to implicate Chris Christie. Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, Christopher Wray's actions did not surprise me in the slightest bit.
We talked about Christopher Wray yesterday on China Watch, so absolutely. We have no love lost here for him. We have a caller, Kate, with a question on a law passed in Illinois. So we don't live there, but I used to live there, related to immigration and law enforcement. Kate, welcome to Win Tucson. What's your question?
Thank you. My question is regarding the fact that when you've mentioned the collapse, is this possibly a state-by-state strategy for the collapse, with Illinois passing a bill within the House and Senate for non-citizens to be authorized to become law enforcement and first responders? I believe the bill was 3571, and it's going to the governor's desk to be signed. How can we stop things like this?
So I want to just repeat back to you what I think you just said. So in Illinois, they passed a bill to allow illegal immigrants to become law enforcement and first responders in Illinois.
Yes, that's my understanding. And it's going to the governor's desk to be signed.
So the governor can sign that. I think that if I'm in Illinois, and I'm not, but if I was there, I would challenge the constitutionality and the legality of that, because you're starting with an illegal premise. You have someone who's here illegally, so you have someone who's now going to enforce the law that broke the law to enforce the law. I think that
is so sad.
Yeah, well, I think it doesn't make sense legally that you could be able to do that, and it's going to take smart lawyers. I'm not a lawyer, but I believe that that's a legal problem, so that in doing that, it's unfortunate that Illinois would vote for that. And look at what's happening in their downtown city, in Chicago. It probably is a reaction to Cook County and what is happening with just the incredible amount of deaths every day in Chicago. It's a war zone, and they have some of the strictest gun laws in the country. So, maybe they're saying, we'll put these people in jobs. I just wonder if you give people that are here illegally who don't really support the law, the rule of law and the Constitution, guns, that's the smartest move. But I think this will become a legal battle. But I appreciate the question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So there you go, Jack.
Well, I think a lot of that, with the caller's question, I think a lot of that is a great deal of it is a psychological operation, in that you have I'm just going to call him. I mean, it's Pritzker, right? He's the governor of Illinois, right?
I'm not even sure.
I think it's Pritzker. But anyway, what they're doing is they're trying to dissolve the concept of the United States citizen. That's what they're doing. The messaging by when they do stuff like this, these politicians, is they are dissolving the concept of the value of being a United States citizen. And this is to shift the society's perception of being a nation state with borders to we're all one just big giant globe, and there are no borders, and there is no national citizenry anymore. That's when they do stuff like this. That is the background messaging that they're transmitting to society.
Well, and I think
it's toxic.
It's toxic, but it's also part of the. It looks like that's just happening in a silo. But it's part of the whole weakening of every structure that we have. It's an attack against, we've been attacking our law enforcement. So now here's a solution. All these illegal immigrants, we'll just give them guns and make them be law enforcement. It's almost so ridiculous, but yet you have a whole state legislature that passed that, a House and a Senate, and now the governor, who, and you were correct, it's J.B. Pritzker. He was elected. He's been there since 2019. He's on his last year. I'm sure he's probably running, but he's a Democrat, and this is another taking of power away from the, exactly like you said, away from the people. And and yet the Constitution and the laws are to support the people, the citizens, the legal and lawful citizens of the U.S. Mm-hmm. And we're not doing that. We are making the citizens, the taxpayers of this country, they are second, third in line. They're not even first, and we're displacing them every day by these policies.
Take a case in point. Look at what happened in New York. They kicked out all of these homeless vets, so that they could put in illegal immigrants, legal aliens. Now, what kind of messaging is that to veterans on a national level? Okay, it's infuriating. It's demoralizing. It's when they do stuff like this, it is meant to message that American citizen, you no longer matter. And that's a very, very toxic thing to be doing. And the reason why is because we exist as a nation because what unifies us is the Constitution and the history of the country. Our ancestors who sacrificed World War I, World War II, all of the different wars that we fought to make this country great the way it is. And when they do things like this, all it does is it continues to unravel the social fabric. Where does this end?
Well,
it's like what I said, when I said earlier, when I had this discussion with General Flynn, when nation states collapse, they collapse very quickly.
Yes.
It's not like over a period of 50 years. Oh, I don't have to worry about this. Oh, it's 67. No, it happens very quickly.
Well, Master Sergeant Jack Donna, retired U.S. Army, we have come to the end of our time. I appreciate your insights. I more than anything appreciate your service, your 23 years and continued service to protect this country, to keep us smart. Thank you for always calling me with what's happening. I will always take the call, and let's figure out what we can do to make a difference to help our citizens.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you for all the work you do too, Kathleen. You're a champ.
Thank you, sir. This is Kathleen Wynn. You've been listening to 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. We'll be back tomorrow.